Well, good morning, everyone. Our last session. Gonna be sad because I've been enjoying this, but we're gonna actually try to end a little early, although I know I have trouble with that because we do have a quick little survey that they want everyone to fill out before we leave. So I'll keep watching the time and try to keep us on schedule. So we did cover Bible verses as we went through. So this is the end of the PowerPoint, and we're gonna go through some more Bible verses that we have not touched on about forgiveness. So here's one from Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Okay, so raise your hand if you had a true enemy and you started praying for them. And go ahead and tell us what happened when you did that.
Can you define enemy?
Well, I'll give my example first. I had somebody I was working with. I worked in the same dental office for 15 years. She was there the whole 15 years I was there, and she was challenging. She had a witch's Bible in her home, and she was a little bit of a witch. I mean, she didn't worship that way, but she was hard, really, really hard on me, and it was getting worse and worse and worse. So I made all these Bible verse cards when that was going on. And the first one here says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I thought to myself, you know what? I've been praying for her. Nothing's changing, but we've got to fight spirit with spirit. And so what I started doing is I always put my purse and coat on a certain chair at a certain place on the table in our break room. And what I started doing, and nobody really asked me about it, but I thought, you know what? Every day I'm going to lay a different card out there right in front of my stuff. And it's going to be good for me because every time I walk back there to get water or go to the bathroom, I'm going to read it and I've memorized all these verses. And I know they all were curious. So I'm sure they were all reading them. I cannot tell you what a difference it made. I mean, we really are fighting a spiritual battle. And I thought to myself, the word of God is the sword, right? So that's what, and it was unbelievable what happened. So it was, I think it was a combination of praying for her and then fighting with the spirit sword. So anybody else have something like that happen that you knew you were up against darkness and you just had to. We had to pray about it, right? Yes, Cindy.
I have a daughter-in-law that's very difficult to get along with. She knows it all, and she's just very stubborn and hard-headed. Well, there was an incident that happened between her and my husband. They got into it, and then she held the two grandkids hostage, I call it, keep away from us for punishment. And I felt a, I know this is awful, but I felt a hatred for her. And I thought, oh, I gotta quit this because, she's the mother of my grandbabies. And I gotta get over it. So I just started praying for her. And the more I prayed for her, the softer my heart became towards her. And I also noticed a change in her. She seemed to have a softened heart as well. Before too long, I felt a true love for her. And no longer have any issues with her. She's still stubborn and, all that. She still has all that. But it changed, it really changed me and how I felt towards her because I was really hurting because I wanted to see my babies.
Right. Well,
So, yeah, prayer is what I
yeah, prayer changes things.
Yeah.
Changes hearts. Pray for their heart, I pray, Lord, let their heart be sensitive to your word and your spirit. Even though they may not go to church or anything, God can still talk to them. So that was a good example. Thank you for sharing. Does anybody else have an example that they'd like to share where you had someone you prayed for or used the sword of the word and you saw a change? Sister Harrington.
I had a boss one time that was very critical of me. And some people told me just to quit that job and go someplace. Well, I prayed for him, and it's like the next day or the next week I came in, he called me through the office and told me he realized he'd been
too hard on me and apologize for.
Wow, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, good examples. Well, let's go to the next verse. Oh, this isn't a verse. Tell about a time. I already did this. I do this all the time. Every time I teach for years, I always, it's like I guess I know what the next PowerPoint is, and I always jump ahead. So we already did this. Tell about a time you resolved to pray for your enemy. What process did you go through to get there? How did you feel after you prayed for them? Sister Harrington, how did you feel when he apologized to you?
Great.
Great. Reconciliation?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Great. Anybody else have any other burning story before we jump on to the next one? Okay. So here's Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So, you know, he gave us an example. Basically, it is a command. So, you know, we are supposed to forgive one another because we remember Christ forgave us. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I think what I gleaned from some of these verses is, think about yourself. Did you want your sins to be forgiven? Yes, a million times yes. Were they forgiven by God? Yes, 1,000 times yes. So you have to take your own, we're all fallible. We're all people, we all make mistakes. So you have to have a spirit of empathy because none of us are flawless. We've all been there and all needed forgiveness. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, I know that means many be defiled, like a lot of people let a root of bitterness spring up them. But when I emphasize the word many, I think about what we talked about last week, where if you say you forgave someone, but then you just ignore them and don't say hi to them when you're at a restaurant or you're avoiding them, is that really true forgiveness? And everybody's watching you and everybody's listening to you. So if you have a root of bitterness in you, yeah, they're saying that this can happen to a lot of people. But when I look at the word many, I think about, well, what about the other people around us that we could be affecting in a negative way if we let a root of bitterness spring up? So Sister Cindy realized she had that feeling. It was the beginning of a root of bitterness, and she conquered it right away and did not let that grow. And that's a good example of what we need to do. Romans 12:17-19, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, and that means refrain from seeking revenge. We talked about that the last couple times, but rather give place unto wrath, and that means leave room for God's wrath, because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Oh, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Any questions on that one or anything? It's a lengthy one. Okay. Matthew 5:23-24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. So you don't want to hold something against someone else because, you know, maybe your gift isn't going to be accepted by God if you do that. So you need to make sure your heart is clean. Okay, this is a big topic. We may get into a lot of discussion here. We may not. We're still going to try to end a little early, and I have some extra things at the end I want to do too, but how to forgive yourself. So we've mostly talked about forgiving people that have wronged us, but we, like we said, we all make mistakes, right? there are times we have to learn to forgive ourselves in order to move on. And this is a big, deep topic. We're going to just skim the surface because I am not a psychologist. Nobody in here is a psychologist, are they? I don't know that we, you know, it's difficult. But I did get some really good information from the internet that are steps you can go through if you're struggling with that. Sometimes somebody does something and you think, oh, if only I could have done that. If I would have done that, maybe they wouldn't be dead now, for instance. Maybe somebody died from depression and you can, that's a terrible place to be because you can ruminate and run it over and over in your head and think that, well, if I just would have done this, then something could have been different. And you feel guilty, like, oh, I should have done this. Do those self-talk phrases like I should have, could have, would have, do they do any good for things that have happened already? They don't. They're a waste of time. And if you're stuck there, that causes anxiety and it kind of causes you to be stuck there. And you think, oh, I should have done that. You've got to look to the future. You've got to just learn from your mistakes, look to the future, and go forward from there. So these are, we're going to start with basic three steps, and then we're going to kind of get into it a little bit more. So when you forgive yourself, acknowledge that you made a mistake. That doesn't mean the ruminating would have, should have, could have. This is if you really made a mistake. Accept responsibility for your mistake and then learn from the experience. Okay, going into it a little bit deeper, and I got this from Very Well Mind, How Can I Forgive Myself? This is just kind of expounding on that a little bit. Accept responsibility for your actions. Feel guilty without dwelling on it. That anxiety and that ruminating never helps. Amend your mistakes. Do what you can to fix the problem. And then focus on what you learned and how you grew so that you can move forward. So that's just making it a little longer, and we're going to go a little deeper, not a lot deeper. These are the four R's of self-forgiveness. Responsibility, accept responsibility for your actions. Remorse, understand your emotions. Restoration, treat yourself with kindness and compassion, just like we should do for others. And then express remorse for your mistakes. If you need to cry, if you need to scream, if you need to take the pillow and hit it on your bed, sometimes you have to do those things. Emotions can't be ignored. God made us emotional individuals, and sometimes that needs to be let out. And then renewal. Make amends and apologize to whoever you need to, including apologizing to yourself. I think that's key because I think the words we speak mean something. And we just like we talked about negative self-talk statements and positive self-talk statements, I think when you say the words, I think it means something. Just like when we pray and speak the word when we're praying, our words are meaningful. And sometimes you just have to talk to yourself and say, I forgive myself that I did that. And that can really help with your healing. Learn from the experience and then try to do better. Okay, so that's kind of just a synopsis of that. How does receiving God's forgiveness relate to self-forgiveness? All right. We were able to accept God's forgiveness, right? So we need to see how that relates to how we can forgive ourselves. Self-forgiveness involves accepting God's forgiveness and letting go of guilt and shame. That's what we did when we repented, we were baptized, and we repent or die out daily because we all have, you know, stinky thoughts and, you know, we all have sin in our lives. And you have to die out daily and repent of that sin to keep clean. It is inappropriate to wallow in misery after receiving God's forgiveness. God forgave you. You've got faith. You believe he forgave you. You know, think about the time that maybe you had a true repentance and, you know, maybe really cried, felt clean when you were baptized. That is real. And you can't just go back and ruminate over and over again. Oh, I can't believe God would forgive me for that. He did. You've got to believe that. And we are meant to show mercy and kindness to others. We know that, right? You're supposed to be treat everybody with kindness and respect, right? You've heard that over and over and over again. What about yourself? Oh, I keep doing that. Every time I'm recording and I keep hitting that. I wonder what that... Has anybody listened to the recording to see if it's going? Because I haven't even done it. Bam, bam, every time I do that. But so what's wrong with showing kindness and mercy to yourself? Nothing's wrong with that. You know, acknowledge your mistake, repent, apologize to yourself, be kind to yourself. Don't beat yourself up with that negative self-talk. So how to be forgiven. 7 actions we can take. And I pulled this off the internet because I like these. What's the word for the confess? What's that called? Those letters? There's a word for that. I can't think of what it is. That's what I was going to say. It was an acronym. Is that right? Okay. Okay. I guess I did know. Okay. So that's a way you can kind of remember this. Confess. So C, confession to the wrongdoing without an excuse. Like, I'm sorry I did that, but, you know, really, this dog ran in front of, out of the car and I was late for work because I had to stop and I had to pick up the doggy and make sure it was okay. And both, you know, no excuses. You're late. You've been late to work every day for a week. You just need to apologize. O, offer a genuine apology. There I go, jumping ahead again. N, note the pain of the other person. If you did something to hurt the other person, let them be aware that you know, you acknowledge that you did cause them pain. That way, that shows that you are thinking about them and not just you, and that you are trying to be sympathetic and or empathetic. F, forever value the relationship. Tell them that. I love you. I appreciate you. You're my sister, Tanya. And let them know that you are asking for forgiveness because you value that relationship. That will be really meaningful to them and to you. E, equalize through restitution or reconciliation if possible. If they're open to you, Tanya, do you forgive me? Are you my friend? I'm your friend too, and I love you. Okay, there. So we reconciled whatever it was. I don't think we have anything. Tell me if we do. So that's reconciliation. And then S, say we will never do it again. Say it. Let them know what I did was wrong. I feel bad about it. I realize I caused you pain. And I really value our relationship. And I promise I will never do it again. This is good stuff, I think. And then S, seek forgiveness by explicitly asking for it. You know what this reminds me of? When you go on a job interview, do you know you're supposed to specifically ask for the job? How many people do that when they're on a job interview? Oh, yay, Brother Holloman's got it down because he knew that. Yeah, I mean, I used to teach that kind of stuff, interviewing and all that stuff and practicing interview. It's like a lot of people go on a job interview and they don't even ask for the job. Ask and you shall receive, right? That doesn't mean that you'll accept the job or that you'll want the job, but that's like this. Can you forgive me for hurting you? The words, again, speaking those words are important. Let them hear you say that. So use your voice, use your speaking voice. Okay. So let me look real quick and see. Okay. I would like us to do an exercise. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Okay, well, you and I can do it together. Or, well, you and Todd will probably want to do it. I can do it with somebody. What I'd like you to do is find a partner, somebody close to you. And what I'd like you to do, and you can make up a scenario or you can use a real scenario. And this won't take but a couple minutes probably. Just, you can look up here and refer to it and just practice saying these things. Because practice helps, it makes it feel more comfortable. So just pick a scenario and just work through this confess thing. Okay? It can be anything. It can be fake. It can be real. Okay, can you kind of start winding down? So how did it feel to actually say those words and practice going through that process? Did it give you a little more confidence if you ever have to do that with someone? Made you think. Mm-hmm. Did anybody struggle with working through this process? Yeah. Okay. Should I pat myself on the back that I must have explained it pretty well? I hope. Well, good. I know Brother Freeman and I, it just, you know, nobody ever taught me to do this or to work through this. And I know it helps just to say the words because it makes it more comfortable. So when you do have to apologize to someone, it's not so hard to do it. So thank you for agreeing to go along with that. What time is it? Okay. Just real quick. I wanted to talk real quick about, we're just going to touch on this, and then I got a couple things I want to do, and then we do have a survey to fill out. So we're trying to end up a little bit early this time. Examples in the Bible of forgiveness. I pulled up a few here. Brother Hodum mentioned them when he was here. There was the woman caught in adultery that Jesus forgave, and he said, "Forgive, and I forgive you, sin, and no more, go and no more sin." Joseph and his brothers, Brother Hodum brought up. What about the prodigal son? Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, the father forgave him for squandering his entire inheritance, and he forgave him. And of course, we already talked about Jesus' words on the cross, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then remember, there were two thieves that were crucified with him, and one of them, he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So we know that one received forgiveness. The other one didn't ask for forgiveness, and that was a different story. And then Brother Freeman brought up Paul and Barnabas. No, Mark. Tell me again what it was. I just lost it. Barnabas and Paul, and they wanted to go somewhere and preach the gospel, but there was contention and they split and went two different ways.
Mark was with him. He went back.
We were wondering, did they ever reconcile? Yeah. I don't think we know that in the Bible, do we? I don't think they ever talked about, did they ever reconcile?
Yeah, they did, because he said, "Send him because he's profitable for the ministry."
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I remember that. Well, good. Well, there's our answer. I didn't remember. I didn't know. But so there's a lot of examples. Anybody else think of an example in the Bible of forgiveness besides?
Like he was talking about, I remember reading about Paul writing. I don't remember who he wrote to, but he said, "Bring Mark with
you." Oh, yeah. Yes, because he's profitable for the ministry. Yep, I remember that now. Good. Any other examples? Okay, so there's a couple things I just wanted to do. This is my great-grandmother's hymn book. It was made in 1867. It's falling apart, and I am finally having time to start reading through it. Only one hymn do I recognize so far. There's no musical notes in it. It's just the words. So I don't know what the music is behind it, but I'm getting a lot out of reading the words. And this one, whoops, that's not the one I want. I want my other bookmark, so I'm going to lose my spot. There's one in here I just wanted to read to you before we close with a prayer and a song. So this one's called, well, they don't have names. None of these hymns have names, okay? They have topics. This topic is "A Broken Heart, God's Sacrifice" from Psalm 51:17. And this says, "A broken heart, my God, my King, is all the sacrifice I bring. The God of grace will never despise a broken heart for sacrifice. My soul is humbled in the dust and owns thy dreadful sentence just. Look down, O Lord, with pitying eye, and save the soul condemned to die. Then will I teach the world thy ways. Sinners shall learn thy sovereign grace. I'll lead them to my Savior's blood, and they shall praise a pardoning God. Oh, may thy love inspire my tongue. Salvation shall be all my song. And all my powers shall join to bless the Lord, my strength and righteousness." What I like about this, and we've touched on it through the series, is it's not just about me forgiving you, you forgiving me, God forgiving us. But again, people are watching, they're listening. It lets us be a light to people who maybe have held bitterness or had contention in their family for years, and they don't know, they've never seen anybody maybe even thought about forgiving their blood brother or sister or their parent or something. Maybe they've never even thought about that. And if we're demonstrating that, I like this because it's basically saying, if you pardoned me, I'm living my life to pardon others, and that will lead others to Christ. So I just thought that was, you know, pertinent to what we're talking about. And then, you know what? I didn't even see if this would work, and it might not. I have a YouTube video. I don't know if it's going to pull it up. See, it pulled it up on here, but it's not going to pull it up on there. I didn't think to ask Alex. That's okay. You don't need to see it. And I'm going to keep it muted till it gets through these commercials. Okay, skip. No thanks. Stop. Okay, so now where did my PowerPoint go? Okay, so who's ever heard of Keith Green? Okay, he was powerful. With his songs, you could feel the Holy Ghost in them. He, along with Rich Mullins, I don't know how many Christian songwriters and singers died in plane crashes, but he was one that did. And it does, I didn't say then when he wrote Creating Me a Clean Heart, but the copyright for it was 1984, but you can see he died in 1983. I couldn't find when he wrote it. This is actually a video, and I know you can't see it, or I could turn my laptop around, but maybe it would be nice for you to actually, I don't think it even shows him. It doesn't. It's, you don't need to see the video, but I want you to hear him sing this song, and then he asks the audience to sing with him. I want this to be our ending prayer for this session. And I know Pastor Damesworth talks about this verse in Psalms about creating me a clean heart all the time. That's what I pray all the time. Every day, that's what I pray for me. And you know what else I've started doing? I've started putting other people's names in there. Like instead of creating me a clean heart, I put create in Michael, which is my son, a clean heart. Oh, God. And renew a right spirit within Michael. So, I mean, you can pray it for you. You can pray it for others who aren't serving the Lord. And to me, it just always touches my heart. So we'll listen to, you'll get to hear Keith Green sing if you've never heard him before. Although, I don't know why there's no sound, because it doesn't say mute.
Are you connected to that via Bluetooth?
Maybe. So it's probably not.
Connect.
Okay, good idea. I'm done with my PowerPoint anyway. So let me go here. I can disconnect from the CLC sound. Will that take care of it?
Is that how you're connected to the internet? Yep.
Yep. Let me try it.
Disconnect
now.
From the internet. They may be trying to play. Is the volume turned up on the TV?
I don't know. I'm not very tech savvy. Oh, this isn't it. This is it. I don't know. I don't know how to do it. Oh, well, let's see if it, let me hit it again.
Now try to see if the volume's.
Oh, well, it's coming out of here, and it's as loud as it'll go. Can you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
I've got it up aside here.
On the road to the
yeah.
That's so long. Not thy Holy Spirit from me. Where is it? Whoops.
No.
Now where?
Go to the home screen.
Please.
Said Roku.
Go to the home screen. Oh.
Go to home and then YouTube.
Go over.
YouTube.
That's all we use.
So my demo does.
What's the name of the song?
Create in Me. It says Create in Me a Clean Heart - Keith Green.
Your account.
Why?
You signed out. Just go down to You Signed Out.
You signed out, okay. Did you see that? Oh, create. See this? I'm sorry about this. I was hoping it would pick it up off my PowerPoint. But... create in me.
There.
You see it? Yeah, there it is. Second one. Is It should say - Keith Green, but I don't see that one. Oh, wait. There, try that one. I don't think it's the same one, but maybe it'll. Oh, there, you can hit skip.
You got to wait to this. Is that...
Well, can't you hit that?
No, you got to wait till that goes. After 9 more seconds, you can skip.
Oh, skip in. Boy.
Now I'm hungry.
Now, how are we going to get the sound on here? Thank you so much. I would have never gotten it. Don't get too busy on your survey yet. Oh, they need one more. Yeah. Can you just put the paper down for a minute and just not look at it till we're done? Because I want this to be our prayer. So pretty soon he's going to have everybody sing with him. And while you sing, I'd like for you to learn to make that your prayer. I mean, this morning anyway.
Speak not thy Holy Spirit from me.
See, mine has the words on it. It's not hard if you know Psalms.
The joy of thy salvation and renew a right spirit within me.
Create
in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Thank you. Thank you. Let that be your prayer. And we have just enough time to fill out that survey. Anybody have any questions or anything that you would like to say about this entire series or what we talked about today? Yes, Brother Freeman.
I was just thinking, I heard a song yesterday, and it was talking about Psalm 137. He talked about and rivers and then forgot the name of Babylon. And it talked about, that they were crying by the river, because they were in captivity and then that made them pray on Zion, the church, where when they had been in their faith, captivity, and they talked about when they sang. They sang. I don't know who sang it, but I think it was touching, on me. And every woman song that somebody had looked like a bunch of Egyptians to me. And the rest of my icon. I don't know who sang it, but And it talked about they remembered Jerusalem.
Well, I think Brother Freeman needs a pen.
Thank you.
That's good. Yeah. I don't know what that song is, but does anybody else need a pen? I had 3 in my briefcase. That's all I got. Yes, Courtney.
Okay. I just want to say thank you because I think like forgiveness, like he's saying something about forgiveness, there is somewhat pretty like
asking for forgiveness, I guess, from who our relationship is. So I think that would mean, you know, stay solid.
You're welcome. Thank you. I enjoyed teaching this and you guys have been a great class. I really appreciate how much you guys have been communicative. You've been interacting, you've been asking questions, you've been inputting with stories. It's been a good class, I think.